Blog Talk Radio.
DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live Talk Radio Show. 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 DM Hyman Live. DM Hyman Live. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Real talk, real talk, talk radio. DM Hyman Live, DM Hyman Live, DM Hyman Live, talk radio show. DM Hyman Live, DM Hyman Live, DM Hyman Live, talk radio show. Real talk.
Real talk, yep. It's your hip hop informer, your man TM Hyman. Yeah. You are in tune to TM Hyman Radio Live. It's 7 p.m. live. From Tampa, Florida tonight. It's 4 o'clock on the West Coast. Wherever you are in the world, you are in tune to TM Hyman Radio Live. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Buck. Those Buccaneers. Yo, squeaked it out. 18-17 against the Rams tonight. Wow, I'm saying the Bucs was down the first half. The next thing I knew, second half, they came back. They were down and like, 20 seconds left in the game. The Bucs on top tonight against the Rams. Buck. Yo, I almost sold my tickets. I'm a ticket season holder for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I got to learn how not to be so fickle when they're down. Shout out to the Bucs. If you want to jump on it tonight, 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. Homelessness is the topic. Could you or someone you know be next? Homelessness. The reality is most of America is virtually one paycheck from being homeless. Why is this happening in one of the richest countries on earth? Again, could you or someone you know be next? We're talking about homelessness tonight. Homelessness tonight. 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. Look, I'm going to go ahead and just bring on this angel tonight. I was not trying to be rude, madam. Welcome to the show. Live from Virginia, we got Ms. Willingham. I want to get her in early tonight so I can make sure we don't have no problems.
Good evening. We don't have no problems.
Look, I just answered the question. Wasn't trying to be rude.
Wasn't trying to be rude at all.
All the way from Chesapeake, VA. Again, it's Ms. Willingham. What's going on in VA tonight? You trying to get the
Nothing. NSU homecoming going on in VA tonight. Oh, they wrapping up NSU homecoming. They had a ball this weekend, and they party hard, all the alumni.
I was about to say, I know NSU partied hard. That's my old school there, Norfolk State University in Norfolk, VA. They played Hampton as usual?
To be honest with you, I'm not even sure. I've been in school so much, I didn't even get a chance to go to the game, so I don't know who they played, to be honest with you.
So
I just went to the after
party.
Your head is
spinning right now. Okay, you said you went to the after party, though.
Yeah.
Didn't go to the game, we went to the after party.
Yeah.
Folks, 917-889-3926 is the number. Ms. Willingham, live from VA tonight. Those other angels will be joining us shortly. Tonight's topic, again, homelessness. Why is it that in one of the richest countries in America, we have people that's one paycheck from homelessness? This is something we'll talk about, and it's getting bad. Like here in Tampa Bay, every corner, every exit you come off of, there's somebody standing with a sign. We got to do something, folks. 917-889-3926 is the number. This is Dawn Bottles featuring Trina. TM Hyman Radio Live. We're back.
Yeah.
I've always wondered what the number was, because I do see in my eyes a lot more a lot more emphasis on world hunger as opposed to, not so much as world hunger, but other countries' homelessness or hunger issues or not eating things of that sort, as opposed to focusing on, you know, taking care of our homes. I was wondering, you know, what was the exact number, but that is a lot. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, I was like, what? And, I mean, when you think about the homeless population, you know, single men comprise of 44% of that number. Single women, 13%. Families with children, you know, 36%. And then, unaccompanied minors, you know, represent, mm-hmm. like, 7%.
Yeah, wow.
It's unbelievable. I mean, families with children, 36% of 700,000 to possibly 2 million homeless people. This is what I think is interesting. I think what's interesting is there's a lot of people who are homeless that we don't even know who are homeless, who we see on a daily basis.
Absolutely. I mean, and some of them, I guess, they don't want you to know they're homeless either. You know,
that's absolutely true.
They don't want it.
Yeah. Yeah, the embarrassment associated with it. I could remember an employee of mine, and this is actually when I was in Virginia, an employee of mine, and it kind of broke my heart, and I remember us pulling some stuff together to help him out. But he was coming to work every day, actually washing up at work. We didn't know that he was washing up at work until it was reported that somebody thought that he was on the job much earlier than he should have been, and ultimately he was washing up. He was actually living out his car for 3 weeks before we even knew that it was a homeless situation. Unbelievable. And I believe that there are many working-class people who are homeless who we just don't know. So, folks, tonight's conversation is to stimulate not just thought, but to break down the barriers and to break down the taboo stigma that's associated with homelessness. Because when you think of homeless, you think of dirty, grimy, you know, people sleeping on cardboard, sleeping on park benches, people sleeping, you know, in alleys. But I'm going to tell you, homelessness has a different face. There's a completely different face on homelessness. And guess what? We are all, not all, but most of us are about a couple of paychecks away from our face being the poster child for homelessness. Folks, we got to do something. One, you know, I encourage folks to help out where you can. You know, life is not all about, you know, you as an individual, me as an individual. You know, you have to be a blessing. Learn to be a blessing to somebody. And that's one thing that that you preach all the time, Ms. Willingham, that I'm a proud to be, you know, your friend, not only your partner, but your friend, because, you know, you kind of changed my mindset when it comes to that blessing thing. You know, not be blessed, but be a blessing. That's something that you proactively state, and I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Got to be a blessing. You know, I want the what I was just listening to about a day or two ago, I'm not sure out of where, but there's a police, I think it's a lady, a policeman, who wants to arrest parents that don't attend the PTA or the Parent Teachers Conference. A lady out of New York, I'm sorry. Some of the people, you know, were in an uproar. They put posting comments, the government's in our business, that's wrong, we shouldn't get arrested. But also another facet to that, and at first I was thinking, well, you know what, that's right, because parents should be more involved. But, you know, another element to that situation is sometimes these parents can't make it because they have no home. These kids are homeless, and they're doing their best just to get them to school. You know, there's so many homeless families that you just don't know. These kids that, you know, don't have a home, and it's so heartbreaking. I'm a parent, and I thank God that I do have somewhere to lay my head, and that my daughter does as well. But, you know, for those that are less fortunate, it's heartbreaking because you see so much. Oh, excuse me one second. You see so often that the face of homelessness is a man, or maybe you might see a single woman, but you hardly ever see those families with the parents and the kids, or just, you know, a single mom and the kids, and it's heart-wrenching, heartbreaking to know that they may not have a meal, or they got to wear the same clothes, or they are dirty. it's, you know, and I'm like, well, you know, I can understand arrest the parents for not being a part, but, you know, make sure we do our research first before we go arresting everybody. They may have other situations, and they're just doing, you know, doing good just to get them to school. You know what I mean?
It's true. It's true. Folks, tonight's conversation is, you know, one, again, to stimulate thought and to raise your level of appreciation. You know, it's not always about you. At the end of the day, we have to learn how to help one another, lift each other up, because guess what? You could be in the same situation. And the question is, wouldn't you need help? Wouldn't you want somebody to help you out? It's Sunday, October 24th, 2010. Why is it that homelessness is on the rise in one of the richest countries in the world? Could you or someone you know be next? Of course, anything's possible. 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. This is Made for Two. Robin Stein. We'll be back. T.M. Hyman Radio Live. Person in an apartment because they really don't want to do any better. homeless. I'm going to urge everybody right now, just like I have a completely different perspective on homelessness. Something fell on me, Dee Dee, about a few weeks ago. I was coming off a ramp. I was coming off of an exit, headed somewhere, and I saw a homeless man who looked like, I think he was holding up a sign. His sign said, veteran, you know, like an old vet or something like that. He had, like, scratches all on his face. I think he was a little bloody. To me, I'm like, wow, this is a little extreme for the dude to be, you know, out here collecting money with blood all on his face. But something like quickened within me. And it said, you know, give that man at least $5. Give him $5 right now. But the light changed, and I had to go before I actually gave a man the $5. I almost turned around just to give him his $5 because you know what, like, quickened in my quickened within me? I was like, wow, what if that was Jesus? What if that was Jesus and he was just testing me to see if I would help him?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I think sometimes. But, you know,
That stayed with me for days. So just like today when I came off that exit, I had to give the guy a few dollars because now my thing is I can't be judgmental, you know, towards homeless people. You know, what if that's Jesus and he's testing me?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I feel the same way because you don't know. You're like, I don't know what you're going to do with this, but the thing of the matter is it don't matter. If you, I'm going to say this. I don't feel led to give everybody I see, you know, and spending with a sign or something like that money. But I know when I do feel led, when the spirit does hit me, I make sure I do my best to make it happen because it's a reason. If you got, you know, the spirit is speaking to you like that and he's telling you make this happen, you do whatever you need to do to make that happen because it's not for you to judge what they're going to do with that money. If they do what they're supposed to do, big up to them. If they don't, there's nothing that you can do about that either which way because you did what you were supposed to do. You were obedient to the thought that, you know, prompted you to give the money, and that's all that we need to do. But I understand it's hard sometimes because you're like, just like with giving tithes or giving offering at a church. It's, you know, I don't know what they're going to do with that money. How are they going to use it for God? How are they going to do this? You don't know, but it's not your place to know. It's your place to be obedient, and he said give, and you make it happen. And you let him work it out and deal with it, you know. If I could give to all the homeless people in the world, I would do my best to, you know what I'm saying? But I know everybody that's not homeless, it isn't because they were put in a situation where they had no choices. Some people are homeless because they choose to be homeless. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like, then you start wondering, well, you know, can you work? You see, like, you can work. But, again, you can't go pointing and choosing and judging who you want to give and who you don't want to give to, you know. But those are all those things that, you know, cross our mind because we're human and we live in the real world.
Right. Right. Now I found some numbers. No, what you just said is real talk, and this is Real Talk Radio, TM High, my radio live. Absolutely. Thanks for joining us tonight, folks. I dropped some staggering numbers a little while ago in reference to homelessness in America, 700,000 to 2 million people. But check this out right here. Tell me if this is interesting to you, Ms. Willingham. The population breakout as far as ethnicity amongst the homeless, 50% African American, 35% Caucasian, 12% Hispanic, 2% Native American, 1% Asian.
Wow. Wow. But you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. That does not surprise me. I mean, I'm not, like, floored. I'm not floored at all. When I'm floored, I'm just, you know, I'm a little upset, actually. I mean, not that I want anybody else to have a bigger number than me, but I'm just, I'm just saying. What in the blue blazes? Come on.
Excuse us, folks. I don't mean to laugh, but I understand why you would be frustrated. The same reason. It's not even frustrating me. It's kind of embarrassing. But
yeah.
I mean, not embarrassing in the sense that, you know, it's like shameful. It's embarrassing because I'm like, why? And I know every other ethnicity is looking at themselves like, I mean, why? I mean, you don't know why. And at the end of it, but guess what? I can't be judgmental because what you stated is real. Everybody who's homeless, they're not homeless because of circumstances or situations. Some people are homeless because it's easier and they like it.
Mm-hmm. They don't want to be found. They don't want an address. They don't want nobody to know. They don't want nobody to control them. They don't want to live by a paycheck. They don't want to live by the system. They don't want to live by the man. They want to do what they want to do on their own time, do their own thing, you know. And just because, again, that they may not have a home or address, they may be doing all right for themselves. Just, I mean, you know, it's, you can't look at everybody on the street and say, you know what I'm saying, gosh, you know, life must have been hard. And I know they didn't want to be here, but they got to know. You know what I mean? Some of those, like you said, some of those people choose to be, and it's just a shame because it makes people begin to start putting those prejudgments in their mind, and it's not helping the ones who really need the help because you have people out here trying to scheme, get over, con everybody, or just wanting to be lazy. What is it teaching our youth? What is it doing for us? Nothing. You know?
Well,
and then they want to complain about the society.
I will share this statistic because it's important. 66% of the homeless people that were surveyed for this particular report, and this report is coming from, you know, the policyalmanac.org, 66% of homeless people have problems with either alcohol, drug abuse, or mental illness. So, you know, however, you know, the pie is split as far as ethnicity goes, you know, 66% is still a huge part of that whole number from 700,000 to 2 million homeless people in America. 66% have alcohol, drug abuse, or mental illnesses that have drove their homelessness in some way. 26% say they sometimes or often do not eat, you know, get enough to eat, you know, compared with about 12%. Of the poor American population, you know, homeless folks, 28% say they barely get enough, if anything, to actually eat. And 28% is pretty high to me. No one should be going hungry in this country where we grow enough food to send over to Baghdad and Afghanistan and Pakistan and all of these other places, Haiti. We go and we can drop off food from the sky into other countries, but we can't feed, you know, our own people right here at home. Folks, it's Sunday, October 24th, and the purpose of this conversation tonight is not just to, you know, sit around a fireside chat and talk. It's to stimulate thought and to motivate us to think differently, to do differently. We have to write our congresspeople, our senators, our delegates, our city council people, the people who are in place that should be taking care of the people. The people includes homeless people too. Homeless people, they still have the ability to vote. They may not have an address, but they still can vote. Okay, they may not be exercising their vote, but they're people too. We have got to stop judging people, and we have to think about what if the shoe was on the other foot, or better yet, what if that person you just looked down on or that person you just walked by, what if that was Jesus for all the believers? Where's your Christianity? Where's the love? See, God only asked us to do two real things. Two real things. We have the Ten Commandments, but for real believers, people who study and read the Bible, he asked us to love, and he asked us to honor thy neighbor. Love somebody and take care of your neighbor. I mean, so are we really living up to the expectations when we can walk past people who are not just in need, but they are visibly in need and they're asking us for help? How do we walk past someone asking us for help just because they don't look the way we look? 917-889-3926 is the number. Don't be afraid. People are listening. People are listening all over the world right now. Don't be afraid to become a part of this conversation. We appreciate you. We want to hear what you have to say. It's 12:29 in the a.m. out in London. It's 8:29 tomorrow a.m. out in Tokyo. Wherever you are in the world, you are in tune to TM Hyman Radio Live with Miss Willingham live from VA tonight. Miss Willingham, do you know anyone close to you that's ever been homeless?
Yes, I do. Actually, I guess in a sense, I'm going to say it was a situation where she chose to be. I don't think she was homeless because she wanted to be. It was the choices she made in life that took her down that road. It was a, my cousin Michelle, and through all the choices that she made in her life, you know, it led her down a road of prostitution and drugs, which meant at some point in time she was homeless. And but, again, it wasn't because she had to be. You know, she had a mom. She had family, but that was the life she chose, so therefore those were the consequences she had to suffer. Do I know anyone that, you know, but it was beyond their circumstances and their situation? No, not actually. I won't say I had the opportunity, but because I hope I never have an opportunity, only an opportunity to bless them and help them out of that situation. But, no, I don't know anyone personally or, you know, family, friend, anything like that that's been, you know, in a situation like that. Not at all. You know, actually, I'm going to be honest with you. It wasn't until I went to college that I really saw, like, I don't want to say the magnitude, but just understood that, you know, homelessness was a real, real thing in America. I mean, I was born and raised in Virginia, and I spent the majority of my time in Virginia until I was 16 years old. And when I left home to go to University of Delaware, you know, I just thought, you know, we had our little few homeless people, you know, because you really, in my mind, it's not like they are all over the street, you know, like you see in the movies. I'm like, you know, well, we... everything's fine. They must be okay. It's not that bad. The situation's not that bad. But when I went up north, it was almost like, I won't say a culture shock, but it was definitely different because, it was much more. The homelessness, the rate was much more higher. So you definitely saw the people on the street. You know, you go to Philly and you see the people sleeping on the grates with the blanket or have the box over there. And you see all these things. You're like, well, where was it at home? Or, you know, why is it this way here and that way at home? So I really just, like I said, in my teenage adult, young adult years, just really saw homelessness on the scale in which, you know, that your that information and the numbers are supporting. So, you know.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. When you say you went to college, of course college was in Delaware, but are you talking about amongst college students or people in Delaware?
I'm going to say people in general in the area. People, in the, especially in the tri-state area, because you have Delaware, Jersey, and Pennsylvania that are right there. And since all three of them are close, I did a lot of traveling between the three. And for that tri-state area, it was like an abundance to me. And I was, because, you know, like here in Virginia, and I'm sure everywhere, you have your union missions, your different shelters, your homes that, you know, you go to. But I guess when there's just too many to take care of, what do you do? And I guess to me, you know, at home, I was like, oh, well, we just don't have that many. You know, it's just a few. I mean, not so much as a handful, but not to the point where, you know, if to me it was visible, it was a problem for our community and our area that, you know, we needed to address immediately. But when I got to college and got up north and saw that, okay, this is a real serious problem that these people are dealing with, you know, on a major scale, I was a little thrown because I was like, wow. You know, I must have been living in a hole or something. Or Virginia, you know, it must not be as bad as I think in Virginia. You know, it must not be that bad, but it is. It's really serious, and it's like the number grows every year. And then, you know, you figure, how do you even get these people out of the people that basically feel like they have no options? I'm not talking about the people who want to be there, but the people who feel like life has succumbed them and, you know, this is where they have to be because they have no choices. But then you look at all the other things that they feel are working against them. You know, look at the unemployment rate, which is increasing. So it's hard to get a job. Even, you know, they try to get any job, but maybe they might be overqualified, things of that sort. So, I mean, it's just they feel – I know that, you know, some of them feel like they're on the hamster wheel running in circles, chasing their tails, because it's like, well, what do? You know, it's too hard to live. They don't have enough money. And when you go up north, I guess it was more prominent because up north the cost of living is higher. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's like, what do? They're like in a catch-22. They can't make enough money to sustain to live. But then since you can't make enough money to live, you can't live. So.
Right. No doubt. So, folks, it's 7:22. Homelessness is the conversation tonight. Hang with us. We'll be right back.
CM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. CM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. CM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live.
Effective member of society
And I think, you know, if we as a community took homelessness more serious and stopped looking down and judging homeless people, we could probably help to rid homelessness just like we put a black man in office. We do what it is we want to do. And, folks, we got to start taking life and this economy and our situation a little more seriously. The fact is we're still in a recession. People are hungry, okay? I believe there are more homeless people than the statistics and the surveys are actually going to tell us, because there's a population of people who are too embarrassed to let anybody know that they're homeless. You know, help anyone the best you can if you know that they're in need. If you see a homeless person on the street, there's nothing wrong with you giving that person a dollar, specifically when you're headed to the club or you're headed to the mall and you're going to spend money on yourself frivolously anyway. Okay? So what? They're asking for a dollar. You know, the fact that they humbled themselves to ask you for anything really says that they need help. Come on, America. 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. They say we're all, majority of us, we're only one paycheck away from being homeless ourselves. Could you or someone you know be next? Ms. Willingham, I think it could be. You know, maybe someone I know. You know, I'm on this saving kick, you know, so I haven't become that successful with saving. But here recently, you know, it's becoming more and more important to me to save. And as a business owner, it's hard because most of what I save, I put back into my business. But I'm trying to separate my business life from my personal life so that I can try to prevent myself from being homeless because, you know, we don't know what tomorrow brings. And this economy, the people are being laid off here, laid off there. You know, I might go into work one day, flip out, be fired, you know. I need to have something to lean back on. something to fall back on, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. But that's the truth, you know. Especially if you don't have control over your financial freedom or your financial destiny, if you don't have any plan in place or you're not working toward something right now as far as maintaining residual income, or you know, having residual income coming in. Because the bottom line is, we are the X factor when it comes to the traditional workplace, your traditional small businesses, things of that sort. If we cannot work, the money stops. And the fact that the majority of us are living from, you know, paycheck to paycheck and one paycheck from being homeless, it's more real than it is not. You know, how many times do you hear or see people talking about, oh, I can't wait till I get paid, and they already had a paycheck already spent. You know, or they sitting there with their hands in their head talking about, you know, how I'm going to make ends meet. But, you know, like you said, the biggest things that we could do that we have control over, like you said, is definitely saving, coming up with some type of plan, listening to the financial advice and education and knowledge that Toya from Delaware gives us, you know, every night that she's on the show, little things like that. And I understand because, you know, I'm a business owner just like you are. It is hard to say.
Hey, Ms. Willingham, you know what? Let's do this. Let's make it official. Why don't we just go ahead and go right into our finance segment? Hey, tonight is coming out of VA with Willingham. Go ahead and finish.
Well, good evening. I'm going to step in for Ms. Toya from Delaware. and because, you know, I don't have I don't have a structured segment for this tonight. I'll just try to backtrack on some of the educational information that Toya has blessed us with as far as.
No, I mean, what you were saying is right on point, though. I mean, because it is about saving. And I know we're talking about homelessness, but, I mean, there's this thing called intervention. Intervention,
right,
or prevention can keep you from homelessness. And so I appreciate where you're going.
Absolutely. So like I said, definitely saving, trying to save. You know, it may be hard living from paycheck to paycheck, but I'm going to tell you this. If you are a Christian and believe in God, one thing I do know, he says, first give him your 10%. He wants the first fruit. The next fruit is supposed to be for you and you alone, not you and the cable man or you and the mortgage man. It's supposed to be for you. So if we just obeyed and was good stewards there,
we could increase our savings. I know whatever, you know, $20 here, $10 there, but it's still savings. So that's another thing that, you know, we could do to help kind of, you know, prevent maybe getting along that path. Or, again, finding a means for residual income, you know, exploring multi-level network marketing ventures or another type of business investment that will keep you with residual income on a consistent basis when that paycheck doesn't cut it, you know, or when you're out of work and you forgot to sign up for short-term disability. You don't have those worries. You won't stress yourself or your family because you have that other stream of income coming in. You know, also, again, things just we have control over, budgeting. Just doing better with spending. Like I was just about to touch on, you said, you know, it's hard as a, you know, entrepreneur sometimes to save and to separate, especially your personal from your business and saving on both ends. But again, you know, if we get a budget in place and we're very, you know, good stewards of it, consistent, you know, and disciplined, you know, we can make that happen. You can save, you can budget, you can go by that budget, you can make things, you know, work out for you. So there's a lot of things that we have control over that we're not doing that sometimes, again, people may not want to be homeless, but if they would have chose differently or made different decisions, the outcome may not have, you know, taken them down this road. So definitely, you know, things that you have control over as far as finances, saving, budget, thinking smarter with your money. Don't be frivolous. Don't be an impulse shopper. And let me say this. I was in church, and I'm sorry to go off the subject of finances, but I was kind of mad that I couldn't stay because I had class today. But one thing Bishop McBath was saying was when it was time to give tithes and offering is you cannot give a teaspoon offering and expect, you know, a pail size reward or a bucket size reward. If you want a bucket size reward, you have to give a bucket size offering. People don't understand the connection and power that it's connected with giving, sowing seed. Giving it away, it definitely will come back to you. So even when you don't think you have it, give it away anyway. Give away what you have, and I promise you, when you need it, it will be there. So, you know,
I will second and third and fourth that right there. because, I mean, I'm going to tell you, it's a formula, people. It's a formula, and it's a principle, okay? Mm-hmm. And with the formula and with the principle, right, it's like law. Just like the government has law, you know, there's a law in the spiritual realm. And it only works for believers. So guess what? If it never worked for you, that's because you're not a believer, okay? So, I mean, I don't want to, you know, argue back and forth with people about, oh, that's not real or hocus pocus or poo on you, okay? You're not a believer. It only works for believers, so we're not talking to you, okay? But for those real believers out there, it's a law. Give, the word says, not T.M. Hyman Radio Live, but the word says, give and it shall be added unto you. It's a fold something, shaking down something. Okay, I don't tote my Bible, but I know the word. It's in me, okay?
All right, man.
give, and it shall be added unto you. Help out the homeless people in America. Let's do something ourselves to fix this situation, okay? If the shoe was on the other foot, you would want somebody to give to you. So guess what? Why don't you give to others?
Hey God, thank you, man, for all of my blessings. I'm wearing this bitch black and I don't know where I'm going. But you just lead the way, and I'ma just bother. I'm struggling today, but I got faith in tomorrow. So God, thank you, for all of my blessings. I'm wearing this bitch black and I don't know where I'm headed. But you just lead the way, and I'ma just bother. I'm struggling today, but I got faith in tomorrow. This life hard to swallow, that's why I got my bottle. I fear my life won't change if I don't hit the lotto. But see, I got dreams, but they don't know what that means. So they try to bring me down, at least that's how it seems. But you king of the kings, the God of the gods. And I'ma need you to handle all of my problems. I know where I'm at, but yet I'm still lost. I just know where I'm going. If you cut me out, please don't do that. I can't survive without you, as long as I know that.
be without you. My faith so strong, I never ever doubt you. The God's in me and you too, just get it out you. And Lord, please forgive me for days I won't church. I was out there crying, doing my dirt. That ain't fair to you, I owe you so much. I'll always be your child, please help me grow up. So God, thank you for all of my blessings. I swear it's pitch black and I don't know where I'm headed, but you just lead the way and I'ma just follow. I'm struggling today, but I got faith in tomorrow. So God, thank you for all of my blessings. I swear it's pitch black and I don't know where I'm headed, but you just lead the way and I'ma just follow. I'm struggling today, but I got faith in tomorrow. So I don't worry much about these hard times. You see, I'm clear it up. Everything gon' be fine. I ain't struggling for nothing. He's turning me into something. I know God is real and there's nothing else above him. So I gotta tell Jesus, there's no one like you. Most people do me wrong, but you always come through. But I must say, Jesus, it's hard being you. Some own peoples might say I did them wrong too. I guess I'm trying to say that ain't nobody perfect, but nobody's always worthless. I know that's a purpose. Home is our earth, and I would not be nervous. The street lights come on, and it's time for me to go home. I worship the Alpha and Omega, who you know do it better. So many troubles, but it gets me through whatever. Long as you find God, you can find him however. What you say here felt that you had to go to Mecca.
So God, thank you for all of my blessings. I swear it's pitch black, and I don't know where I'm headed. But you just lead the way, and I'ma just follow. I'm struggling today, but I got faith in tomorrow. So God, thank you.
WHAC, TM High My Radio Live, that's my man Law, God thank you, and that's one thing we absolutely do today, Sunday, October 24th, 2010, God we thank you. It's 7:52 in Brooklyn, New York, it's 6:52 in Dallas, Texas, 5:52 in Phoenix. Ms. Willingham, you was trying to get something in before that break.
No, actually, well, I was going to say, you know, for those who's like, oh, they're on a money kick, giving does not just mean money. And Christians, believers, you know that. Even though I said give your first fruits, if you don't have the money to give, give your first fruits in time. Give your first fruits in worship. I mean, that goes the same way for anybody else. If you don't have the money, give your time to help somebody. Give your time to educate somebody. If you're a business owner and you don't have, you know, any extra money to put someone on the payroll, well, give them a job until you do. So, well, just, you know, volunteer for me for a little bit until I make a wage. Just make them feel a part. But what I wanted to say was I was at the school I go to, our internship. I do interns there sometimes and I also work there sometimes. So a lot of stuff there. Anyway, I was sitting in the break room with a young lady, and she was cutting some, like, food line from, or just some grocery bags. She was cutting the handles off of grocery bags. And I'm trying to find out what in the blue blazes is she doing with these handles on these grocery bags. Well, come to find out, she uses the handles that she cuts, because they're about three inches wide, to crochet blankets for the homeless. She says it takes about 500 bags for her to make a nice pallet that the homeless people can roll up and take with them. It, you know, they can wipe it off, keep it clean. It's comfortable, and that, you know, and that's her way of blessing the homeless. And I'm like, wow. You know what I'm saying? Wow. Wow. All I'm thinking, you know, is let's go feed them. Because, of course, my mom's a caterer, so I'm like, let's feed them. You know, I give them money, mommy feed them or whatever. They should give them clothes. But, you know, just that little, I was like, wow, she's cutting bags,
wow.
500 bags to make one, to crochet one pallet for someone. 500 bags, one pallet. She's trying to do 10. That's her goal. I'm like, she is awesome. You understand what I'm saying? But that's how we can give back. That's how we can help.
Thank you for that clarification, because when I was referencing believers, first versus people who may not be of faith,
right.
And you know, and I just want people to understand the spirit in which we are speaking and the topic. Okay, I personally have known people who I would say were homeless because, you know, they didn't have a house that I could actually go to. And see, folks, the definition of homeless is, I mean, I think we're doing, can I be real? I know I'm the chief of Be Real Radio, but I still even know, for those people who are on staff with me, know that I still even scale it back.
Well,
in the African American community, where 50% of homelessness is accounted for, we have learned to live and live comfortably and not even acknowledge the fact that we're homeless. And homelessness is defined by just that, not having a home. If you are over the age of 21 and you are not pursuing high education, if your mama or your daddy or grandma, granddad, or auntie or uncle told us to get out today, let me help you, black person, white person, Asian person, Native American person, you, in fact, would be homeless. There are many people right now that you know, that I know, that are above 21 years of age who are not pursuing higher education and who are not living with a family member. But guess what? They also do not have a home of their own. What do you think they call themselves? They do not call themselves, they might call themselves a lot of things, but they do not call themselves homeless. It does not mean they aren't, in fact, homeless.
Wow, I guess I fell into that category for a short time in college.
This is Be Real Radio. This conversation is a real conversation to stimulate, to educate, and to move us forward. Give and it shall be added unto you. Okay, many of us are in positions of we have clout, we have authority, we have decision making power. I am all with Mr. Kwanzaa Hall, councilman in Atlanta, trying to service 7,000 people in Atlanta by trying to urge the city council to help to employ these people. Yes, they. They have to be able to present themselves and at least articulate the basics. You have to be able to speak. You may not be completely literate, but you have to be in a position to where you would want to receive help to become literate. I do understand some of these uppity, you know, people who feel like, you know, you have to have some type of education in order to obtain certain jobs. And I'm sorry if I'm getting on some of y'all nerves, but, you know, for others, I hope I'm helping you. Okay. We need to help people who need help and stop trying to help ourselves so much. Most of us can give up a meal or two or three because we live on a hefty side anyway. You know, give your meal to a homeless person for about a week and just go on a fast with your fat self. Go ahead, Didi.
You know what? I know that's right. I need to do all that. But no.
Most of America. I'm just saying that because America is the fattest country in the world, and we have the most homeless people in the world. Doesn't make sense.
I know.
Doesn't make
sense.
Give up a hamburger or two, America. Go ahead. That makes me upset.
I can see. But let me ask this question. What do you say for those people who feel like, you know, you have been homeless for some years? You really could have gotten out here and got a job. You know, you could have swept somebody's kitchen. You could have been a dishwasher. You could have been a janitor if you would have applied yourself.
Not if I'm depressed. I think.
So is that a crutch? Is that okay? Because you're depressed? It's okay?
I think what it says, I don't think it's okay. It's just my condition. What I think the problem is, you can't come out of your condition alone.
Okay.
To me, that's why the church is so important, but yet so hypocritical.
It is, because right.
To me, if for somebody who is in need, for somebody who needs help, and see, if I've been homeless for 3 years, understand this. I've been in situations and circumstances that nobody would ever be able to understand. I've seen people get raped in the street. I've seen people get killed in the street. I may have, in fact, been raped in the street. I'm definitely an alcoholic, you know, or a drug abuser. You know, I'm prostituting. See, the life that a street person has to live, and again, I'm just speaking out of what I know just off of speaking to people and just research. The life that they live will break you down. It will beat you down. So it takes a real-life Jesus Christ to come into your life to help you to see something different, because I can't imagine that I could break that cycle on my own. Folks, if you've just tuned into the show, it's 8 o'clock on the dot. It's 8 o'clock on the East Coast. It's 5 o'clock on the West Coast. And folks, this is a real conversation tonight. It's Sunday, October 24th, 2010. The reality is most of America is virtually one paycheck away from homelessness. Why is that happening in one of the richest countries on earth? Could you or someone you know be next? We welcome your comments and your feedback as we prepare for Election Day, November 2nd, coming up. Dial 917-889-3926, 917-889-3926. Join us. Tell a friend to log on. It's T.M. Hyman Radio Live. With that angel, Miss Willingham from VA, I'm your man, your hip-hop informer, T.M. Hyman. Wow.
Wow. Wow is right. I mean, you know, I'm going to say this. Thank God that he made us all individuals, and if we all thought the same, you know, maybe the world would be a better place. But, you know, we have a lot of people who think that, you know what, if you got yourself in this rut, you should be able to get yourself out of it. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps and work it on out. You don't need to be depressed. What you depressed for? Life is good. Someone always has it worse than you do. You can do it. You can do it.
Yep, and you know what? I think I used to be that person. I used to be that person, because I am a believer that you get out what you put in.
Absolutely.
Most of my adult life, I came up with that own concept myself, because where I am, you know, with the help of God, at the beginning and it's going to be in the end, you know, I believe I've worked hard, I've put forth, I've sacrificed, you know. And therefore I'm where I feel like not really where I should be, but I'm where I want to be right now. God is good. But see, I had to realize that in the midst of people who also wanted to aspire, they may have put forth the energy. See, if you don't have love and support, your destiny, your dream, what you're working towards could still be unsuccessful. You got to have love, because, see, you can only trust and really be yourself when you feel like you got genuine, unconditional love. And when you got support, it makes it easy, because you're not in it by yourself. And at the end of the day, I recognize everyone doesn't get that. Everyone doesn't have that. That's why we have to be that. We have to be that right here on earth. And folks, I might be talking some sideways malarkey to a lot of people who are listening, you know, into different parts of the world. But let me tell you something. I'm a young African-American male, okay? I'm in my early 30s, all right? There are many brothers who right now they don't even see themselves coming into the 30s. We had somebody on the show last week that told us that he didn't think he would live to be 18. He didn't think he would live to be 21. His birthday is coming up. I could tell you that I didn't think I would live to see 25. Not because I lived a hooligan lifestyle, but me feeding into the media. The media in America made me think that as a young black man, I wouldn't live to see a certain age. Okay, we're going into a whole different topic, folks, but the point here is let's stop being so judgmental. We can solve homelessness one step at a time, one day at a time. One, awareness is key. You have to know that you are, in fact, one paycheck away from being homeless yourself. And guess what? If you were evicted today, if you were homeless today, what would you do? What would you expect? We want to do for someone else what we would want somebody to do for us, and that's to support us and love us back to success. It's 8:05. We'll be right back.
DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live Talk Radio Show. 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 Talk Radio Show.
Okay, you know we connected, boy. Yeah. Hey, hey, let's go.
tuned in to T.M. Hyman Radio Live. That was that joint Connected, Devastate, featuring Briscoe. It's your girl Toya checking in a little late this evening from Delaware. I do apologize. I know you guys aren't used to that from me.
Wow.
But I am.
This is how we gonna start.
As to what's going on. I know we're talking about homelessness, and, you know, are you the next person to be homeless, or someone you know the next person to be homeless? So what have you guys touched on so far?
Oh, man, we've kind of been all over the place, really, but we're just focusing really just on how, you know, we got to move past judging the homeless, being that, again, you know, one, two, you know, three paychecks, you know, if we're not careful, you know, I think any one of us could be homeless. And, you know, we talked about how, you know, there's about 700,000 to 2 million homeless people right now on the streets every night in America. And, you know, 50%, you know, of that number is African-American, you know, which was a little staggering, you know, in my opinion, you know, followed by 35% being Caucasian, 12% being Hispanic, 2% Native American, 1% Asian. And when you go back up, you know, that ethnicity string there, you know, Asian, Native American, Hispanic, white, and African American, you know, I think, you know, there's a question to be asked. You know, why is the African American, you know, population or percent so much higher than the other ethnicities? You know, to me, I don't want to go off into that conversation tonight, but that was something that we raised. But we're really focused on, you know, giving it, and it shall be added unto you. You know, give to that
right.
homeless person, help them. You know, give of yourself, you know, just following the law, specifically of Christians, you know, many that, you know, obviously are applying what it is that we believe.
Well, I mean, I have my opinion on that. I think that part of the reason why African-American rate is so much higher than everyone else, I think we lack support amongst each other. When you look at other ethnicities and racial backgrounds and things of that sort, it seems like they support each other a little more, and for us, it doesn't bother us to see another person fail. For some reason, it seems like we don't want to see each other get ahead or do better. And then I also think that sometimes our pride gets in the way. Either we don't want to help, ask for help, or we don't want to do things that we think others look at as, you know, not acceptable. I know myself.
Right.
I'm not going to be homeless. Like, my pride, that was out the window a long time ago. I tell people all the time, I have to dress up in a Chick-fil-A cow suit and pop lock on the side of the highway to get customers in. My family would be
wow.
taken care of. You know what I mean?
Well,
you
yeah.
might catch
like,
me at a, yeah, you might catch me at a McDonald's saying, I'm sorry, did you want to supersize that? It's no problem because I know that I'm taking care of me and my
right.
family. I would prefer to be in the cow suit, though, pop locking on the side of the road. So, No, seriously, I do think that a lot of times people put their pride above taking care of their family, and that's something I won't do. If I have to work 2-3 jobs, I don't care if I'm at a Rita's water ice stand, I'm in a McDonald's drive through, a janitor, you know, at a Walmart, I'm going to take care of my family. I just think that's one reason, and the fact that we don't want to see each other do well, I think that's probably a couple of the reasons why our rate is so much higher than other ethnicities. That's just my personal opinion.
No,
that's
true.
Let me give a
quick.
I'm sorry to cut you off.
Two points that you made, because I'll forget. Two points. You stated the support piece. Coming out
mm-hmm.
of the last break, that's what I was saying to Dee Dee. I think, you know, love and support is definitely two elements that a lot of us miss. Therefore, we can't really grow. The other thing you stated was we don't want to ask for help. That's why it's really important for people who are homeless who are asking you for help. Don't judge them. Just help them. Because many people need things, and they're not even going to ask you. So the fact that somebody asked you, could you help them, just go ahead and help them. Unless you see them every Thursday in the same place, and you know they're pimping. Okay, and then if they're pimping people, then, you know, be gone. You know, but people genuinely are asking for help. They probably need help. I'm sorry, Dee Dee.
No. That was a good point. I was just basically going to piggyback on what Toya was saying by giving a real example, putting, you know, transparent, and this is Be Real Radio. The example being, my husband was in the Navy. Well, when he came back off of deployment, you know, things were hard. I was working two jobs while he was out on deployment. But, of course, he didn't want his wife working two jobs when he came back home. So immediately he knew, well, we both knew we had to make ends meet. We weren't going to be homeless, and we did have pride, be it, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. That man got out there and got a job at Taco Bell and worked at the Navy so that I could stop working two jobs in order to take care of his family. But what I was going to say is he had to turn around and get on the phone with his stepfather, who got laid off from a cabinetry company and refused to go get another job to take care of himself and his mother, of Freddie's mom, and to the point where he was so hell-bent on paying the car note, the truck note, he got them evicted because he wouldn't go get a job somewhere. He thought he was above, you know, working at McDonald's or putting on a chicken suit on the side of the road and pop locking, and to the point where he got him and his wife evicted out of a home because he went pop
lock. I'm telling you,
I'll do it. I'm just saying, but I know it's not trying to be funny. I'm just trying to make a point. You know, my husband, a young man, younger, you know what I'm saying, but understood that, you know, he had enough pride, enough to say, you know what, I can make, I don't have to depend, not so much depend or ask for help, but I know I have the capability in order to help my situation, as opposed to his stepfather having the same capabilities but refused to the point where it got him kicked out of his home.
No, and that's shameful. And this is what I will say to the families that have children with them that are homeless, because, you know, I mean, we broke out that number. You know, it's 36% of the homeless population that expands from 700,000 to 2 million, and that's just reported. We know as many more who are unreported. 36% are families with children. And I think it's a horrible thing when a man's not living up to be the head of his household and he's in the household, because the head of the household is all about providing and protecting, and if you are not providing because of your ego, then we gotta pause, we gotta stop, man, and we need to ask for some help. You know, what is an ego? What is an ego? It's the I or self, you know, of any person, as a person thinking, all about you, you know. And nah, when you got a family, it's not about you. You should have put that down a long time ago. Come on, we can't let ego and pride keep us from taking care of our families. It's our obligation, you know. So I think that's horrible, and I'm not being judgmental. That's just my evaluation as a man, you know. I mean, a man's role in a household, specifically as head of household, is to protect and provide. If you're not being a protector and a provider, I'll tell you what I would say, get the hell out the household. But that's just my personal opinion. Folks, it's Sunday, October 26, 2010. It's 8:18 where I am. I'm coming to you live out of Tampa, Florida. And I appreciate this conversation tonight because we're stimulating a real dialogue about something that's extremely important. Coming up next, we're going to get our official finance segment. Although we did already have a finance segment tonight, but we can pick it up, Toya, and just keep this conversation going. We got Toya live out of Delaware tonight. DD live out of Virginia. I'm coming to you live out of Tampa, Florida. TM Hyman Radio live. Homelessness. Could you or someone you know be next? When they say we're only pay, I say about two or three paychecks away from being homeless. What do you think? We'll be back.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show.
Prophet Forma with Toya live from Delaware tonight. She's got finance tips.
Well, this week I just wanted to talk a little bit about the different types of identity theft. So I wanted to start by telling you the seven different types of identity theft, and then later in the week touching on each one. The first one being financial identity theft. I mean, when people hear the words identity theft, they usually think about their credit reports and bank accounts. I mean, we hear about different types of data breaches all the time. I mean, we had like TJ Maxx with the 47.5 million credit card information that was stolen, Heartland Payment Systems that had about 130 million credit cards stolen. We hear about those things all the time. So, you know, our faith in our financial institutions is usually shaken pretty bad when you hear about this. You know, you think about, you know, I have my banking information out there. You know, someone can wipe me out, you know, with no problem, and it can be done. So that's one type of identity theft, and that's financial identity theft. Another thing to think about is medical identity theft. You figure this is a crime that it's going to be really, really hard to prove that it wasn't you. You know, if someone gets a hold of your actual insurance information, we all know that you can go to get any type of service, and whatever your medical insurance won't pick up, then you're left with the bill. So, I mean, there are times where people commit medical identity theft, use your insurance just to use, just to get by, per se, or get service, whether it's at a doctor's or a hospital or what have you, and then thereafter, the bill is, you know, that's left over, you're stuck paying it. I know they have made some changes recently where some doctor's offices that have switched to paperless systems, they capture your ID on file, so they have like a driver's license picture, a digital picture in their database, and then we also have some doctor's offices and hospitals that will ask for your ID along with your insurance card. I mean, there are some places where they don't do this, so medical identity theft is still out there. There's also criminal identity theft, and this one may be as bad as medical identity theft. And the easiest way to find out if this has happened is if you get caught speeding. You know, the officers stop you, they'll run your license and registration, and then you find out you have warrants out for your arrest. Yeah, so you didn't do it. They hear that all the time, but someone else did it, and they used your information. So just keep that in mind. This includes also driver's license identity theft. And this is really easy to happen as well. You know, if someone steals your ID or if you lose your purse or wallet and you have someone who gives your ID to someone who looks very similar to you, it's not hard for them to actually obtain another form of ID with their picture but your information. And this can come up if someone actually uses your actual information when they're pulled over by the cops. So just keep that in mind as well. I know that happened to me. I had a cousin of mine who stole my license, and this is back when they had your Social Security number printed on it. She memorized all my information. When she was pulled over by cops, she just told them that she didn't have her license, gave them my information, and I didn't find out about it until I was leaving the country and came back and learned that I had bench warrants out for my arrest, bench warrants out for me. So just keep that in mind. People can use your driver's license against you. Social Security identity theft. There are millions of people working in America who don't want to pay taxes. It could be an illegal immigrant, a deadbeat parent, a paroled criminal who's trying to shake their past. So your Social Security number is the most valuable piece of personal information that any thief can steal. So just keep that in mind. If someone gets a hold of your Social Security number, they can do a lot of damage. So that's something you definitely want to make sure you keep your eyes on. They say don't carry your Social Security card and your wallet with you. You should just keep it locked up in a safe place because if someone gets your license and your Social Security number, it can pretty much be a wrap for you as far as identity theft is concerned. And then synthetic identity theft. This seems to be like the latest thing in the ID theft world. The thief will take parts of information from different people and then combine it to make like a fake person, and it's pretty hard to prove that it's not you when there's not a bunch of information that pertains to you being used in one crime. So, you know, any bit of information about you, whether it's your date of birth, your Social Security number, anything that has to do with payroll at work, any insurance forms that come to your home, anything that you have that you're done with, please don't throw it in the trash. Please make sure you get a cross-cut, excuse me, shredder, and shred all documents when you're done with it, because it's not hard for someone to take your information as far as your payroll information from your job and then take someone else's Social Security information and create a fake ID. Systems aren't in place that do cross-checks all the time, and it's really, really easy for someone to create a new identity. And then also, last but not least, is child identity theft. When you're dealing with your own identity theft, be sure to look into your children's as well. It's usually a family member or close friend that will steal your child's information and set up accounts and open different types of cards and things of that sort in your child's name. And, of course, they won't know about it until they're older, later on down the line. And at that point, even though it was open or the line of credit was established when they weren't even allowed to open a line of credit, they still have to work to get that taken off of their actual credit report. So keep that in mind as well. Those are the seven different types of identity theft. And then later in the week, we'll touch on one.
Thank you very much, Toya. And the homeless are taken advantage of when it comes to identity theft as well, because people think they're off the scene. So that was a very interesting report, good information you're sharing with us. Live out of Delaware tonight, Toya, it's 8:30 on the East Coast. It's 5:30 on the West Coast. Actually, yeah. We'll be right back. We got 30 minutes left in the show.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show. Talk radio show. Cock a doodle doo, little nigga, time to wake up. Ain't a rest your thoughts, saying, boy, get your weight up. Like an old man on a pill, nigga, stay up. Laying on his back, so you know I'm coming straight up. Money get low, bet the hoes wanna break up. Get a cover girl and your ex wanna make up. These hoes foul, wanna charge you to lay up. These hoes foul, wanna charge you to lay up. Pay up, please. Y'all hoes, stop it. Brett Favre money never coming out the pocket, but the brain's so good, need a scholarship to college. Leave a G-Shock, my nigga, you better watch it. Things ain't the same. They saying I changed, nigga. I'm still gon' ride. I'm just switching my lane, nigga. All y'all rap like one of them Wayne niggas. This shit is in my blood, so I do it in vain, nigga. Mama's only baby, could he come out any quicker? It's mail, but the package taking longer to deliver. Pop, play Photoshop, cut itself out of the picture now. Mom's favorite saying is, I don't need a nigga. Bitter, but listen up. Pops wasn't ditching us. Figured a nigga had a hard time keeping the zipper up. Thoughts never fade. I gotta put the clippers up. Parents had to part, but that's the way the clippers cut. Silly cuz, that's when I fell in love with this rap stuff. Back when it was all about guns and niggas that act tough, I did it too. I won't interest in that stuff. Boss saying, wake up, nigga. Hang them racks up. Shit. I guess it was a dream. Let me go and play my role before they cut me out the scene. Niggas call me Breeze, but they used to say Raheem. But I guess it all changed like laundromat machines. Shit.
Just like that. You are in tune to TM Hyman Radio Live. Homelessness, Sunday, October 24th, 2010. The reality is most of America is virtually one paycheck away from homelessness. Why is that happening? In a country that's oh so rich, ladies, why in a country that could feed people in third world countries like it's no problem, why is this happening? And what can we do about it?
It's happening because we're capitalists. Because all we want is money. Feeding the homeless is not making us money, but giving it away make us look good. That's what I come up with.
And what can we do? If you was president, what would you do to not just combat but to eliminate hunger in America if you was president?
If I was president, like I'm gonna start off by saying this. I don't think it can be wiped out or eliminated. Some people will choose to walk the rebellious line. But for those who are actually in need, what I would do, definitely, I think I would – I can't even start it at the homeless, but I'm saying feeding them. I got to attack the initial problem. We need to find out some of the root causes, maybe doing better with jobs, better with pay, better with getting them help and resources. And then you also have to look at for those who don't want to take your help, who are not as closed mouths, do not get fed. If you do not ask, I will not know. If you don't tell me you have a need, I can't meet it. But for those who don't, then – there will always be homes. But for those who don't mind saying, I need help, We're going to get you a job. We're going to get you some decent pay. We're going to get you some help, get you some education that you need in order to keep your job, in order to keep that decent pay so that you can make it. I promise you. I've seen my mom make a dollar out of 15 cents. I know what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would do.
Mm-hmm. Live out of Delaware tonight. Toya, if you were president, how would you eliminate? Ms. Willingham said it can never be eliminated. I don't disagree. But what would you do to try to eliminate homelessness in America if you were president?
I think it starts also personal responsibility. It's nothing that you can do just by being a president. People need to realize that they have to plan, and we talk about it all the time. You have to plan for things that you don't see coming. Instead of blowing your money, you do need to save and budget and have emergency funds and things of that sort. There's really one man can't do it all, because you have to take responsibility for you and your life and, you know, your children's life. So the only thing that I would be able to recommend is, of course, put more money into our own backyard opposed to throwing it over the fence, all of it over the fence to other people. Not saying there's anything wrong with helping the other countries, but we also need to help ourselves. So, you know, helping people get back on their feet, providing different types of educational programs, and instead of just giving money, you know, money isn't always the answer, but people need to know what to do with the money and how to keep the money and how to spend the money. So different types of education. Like I say, you have to help yourself. You know, one person can't do it. So, of course, there's some types of funding that will be able to help people, but just because you get them back on their feet, you can't keep them on their feet. If they don't take care of themselves, they're bound to fall back down again. So,
no, I totally get that. I totally get the point, and you're absolutely on it. Folks, if you're really looking for help anywhere in the country, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, we know it as HUD. We love HUD. HUD.gov. HUD.gov. It's your friend. Bookmark the link. Follow instructions. Do your due diligence. What is due diligence? It means do your part. Try to prevent, intervene where it may look a little bleak, okay? Define yourself. Know your status. Know if you're in jeopardy of being homeless. Know if you're homeless right now and people don't know. Because you could get help tomorrow, okay? HUD.gov, U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. The Secretary of Housing and Development right now is Sean Donovan. Sean Donovan is our Secretary of HUD right now. That's the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. It has an office for every state across the country. Log on. Check out information in your state. They have a homes and communities section where there's a list of resources. If you know someone who's homeless, help them out. Okay, try to get them registered to vote. Let them really find. I don't know what the instructions is, so I'm not going to mislead anybody. But they need to start the steps to getting some type of address. Ladies, do you all know what a homeless person can do to get a stable address? If you're homeless, you know, really I'm thinking it's hard to get a job if you can't give someone a permanent address. Although I know people give people addresses all the time, right, just to have mail sent there. But you need a steady address. So, I mean, do you all know what, you know, without going too far off the beaten path, what some the first step for a homeless person to do? I mean, if you were really trying to get a job and you needed to use an address, what address would you use?
I myself would probably reach out to a family member or a close friend just to use the address. But I know that my church offers programs that can help people, not necessarily get you into a home, but they can put you in the direction or point you in the direction for you to get back on your feet. So I would definitely check with, you know, a local church that you may be attending or attended, or even if you're not attending, most churches have no problem with helping you out. So I would start there. And any type of local, I know here we have YWCAs that will help you out, the Salvation Army, so I would look into that as well.
Exactly. I was going to say the same thing. Your local shelters. there are some people, you know, that they will give you, they don't mind sharing information, your YMCAs, your WMCAs, your local churches, like Toya just said, you do not have to be a church member or a church goer or believe in God to receive help from the church. Definitely some of your shelters have some inside information. And as some of the people, I know it's kind of crazy, you know, ask someone else that's homeless, but let me tell you something. Some of those people have some, again, a lot of them don't have to be there. So they do know some information as far as group homes or different homes that can assist you, or transitional houses that can assist you, because there are some serious people who don't want to be in that situation who are definitely trying to get out of it.
Yeah, no, ladies, I appreciate the feedback, the comments, the tips, everything tonight. Folks, this has been just a wake-up call, a call to arms for America, those who really care, and for those who are aware that you may be on the verge, if not one or two paychecks, away from homelessness yourself. Each one teach one. It takes a village. The one thing that I was, you know, speaking of earlier in the show, you know, what keeps a person down sometimes, and it's not because that person wasn't smart enough or strong enough or intelligent enough or creative enough, it's because sometimes they didn't have the love and the support that each and every one of us really need in order to be successful. Yes, it is possible to achieve on your own, but at the end of the day, you know, what is it that, you know, I don't want to misquote scripture, but it's in my heart, I'm going to mess it up. You know, it's about the man gaining the whole wide world and losing his soul. You know, why did he lose his soul? It's because he probably didn't love nobody and nobody loved him. You know, hey, you folks, give and it shall be added unto you. I would say this, too, just to encourage you out there, you know, listening in Baghdad and in Tokyo, those dudes on the lines for their lives. We appreciate the military. We have not done one military show, and tomorrow night we're going to dedicate a show to our military in honor and respect and homage, and please forgive us that we really have not appreciated the military for the work that you all do. Thanks for tuning in all over the world. We appreciate it. We got listeners. We got about, you know, I mean, we got a lot of folks listening all over the world. I'll say that. Again, tomorrow night, it's all about the military showing love. Thanks for the work that you do. Folks, I'll say this. Dee Dee said everybody that's homeless is not there just because they, you know, because they're bad off. Some people are there because they want to be. In fact, we might find it hard to believe, but some people are there, and the life that they can go back to is a spectacular life. The life can probably be pretty spectacular. Everybody in the streets aren't broke people. They may have alcohol, drug, or mental issues, but they may not be broke people. They may not be real street people. They are just people that have found themselves on the street. There's a difference. You got to open your heart, see, because the person that you're shunning, that could be the person that could bless you. You got to open your mind. You got to open your heart. Folks, 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. This is Open Your Heart, Earl Bynum. 917-889-3926. Hit us up. Thanks for listening.
Open my heart. Open my heart. mind to be found. If he would confess, he's heaven bound. And then that girl who ran away because she thought she couldn't do what daddy say. Give him love, give him peace. Please, Lord, supply their every need. Give them hope, give them joy.
Thanks for tuning in to TM Hyman Radio Live. That was Open Your Heart, which is a perfect song for the discussion we're having today, or this evening, I should say, about homelessness. And, you know, you touched on something before we cut to that song earlier, TM, and that's, you know, to do for others. And I think that's one thing that a lot of people forget is that being selfish will leave you by yourself. You know, you have to do for others. And Dee Dee reminds me all the time, whether she knows it or not, we have a funny argument whenever we're together. And it's over little things, like who's going to do for the other person. You know, she never wants to let me pay, and I don't want her to pay. So, you know, just doing for others, it'll always come back to you. It's little things, just even if it's buying lunch for someone who can't afford it. You know, you can't be selfish. If you don't help other people aren't going to be willing to help you. So I think that's something else people need to keep in mind. It's not always about yourself, but for others. About others as well.
Right. No, absolutely. And that's the whole purpose, again, folks, tonight. Homelessness, you know, because you are someone you know be next. The roundtable discussion tonight has just been to stimulate, you know, and to bring awareness. Again, HUD.gov, all over the country, all over the United States, you know, and I would, you know, encourage, you know, I know it's a whole bunch going on in Paris right now. I know it's a whole bunch going on in Europe. You know, thank God, you know, the God that I serve, anyway, that, you know, America, you know, has been preserved and protected, you know, held in the palm of his hand. And I want him to continue to hold us and mold us and shape us and, you know, make us and, you know, keep us like firm with Obama in office for as long as we can go, you know, because Paris is in upheaval right now with their government and Social Security. And, you know, Europe is in upheaval right now with their whole government and slashing welfare and, you know, the you know, poverty-stricken people. You know, what are they going to do? What do y'all think they're going to do? They're going to run for America And it's already hard enough for people who were born in America and for people to continue to come over and benefit from resources that we don't even benefit from right here. It's a shame and it's a travesty only if we allow our resources to be absorbed. HUD.gov, HUD.gov, that's the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development. That's Secretary Sean Donovan. Secretary Sean Donovan. Folks, thank you for tuning in tonight. We have about 10 minutes left in the show. We're going to roll live. Can we come live from Virginia?
Live from Virginia. It is tonight's health and wellness segment. All right, everyone, I just wanted to give some quick tips, weight loss tips that you need when you are first making up your mind to losing weight. Sometimes you think you can just jump into it, but it's not something you can just jump into. You have to not only be ready overall, you definitely have to prepare your mind. These are some questions that you need to ask yourself before you start any type of weight loss regimen. Weight loss success depends on your readiness to take the challenge. And here are some questions to help you decide whether basically you are ready to take on this challenge. And this is important to me because I'm looking forward to taking on the challenge. First question you should ask yourself, are you motivated to make a long-term lifestyle change that requires you eating more healthy foods and exercise and more? If you want my answer, the jury is still out. Have you addressed distractions in your life? Have you addressed distractions in your life that could affect your commitment to the weight loss program? I will tell you, it is easy for distraction to come up, especially when you don't want to do something, when you don't want to exercise or take that walk. Anything, the slightest thing can distract you from that. So are you ready and prepared? Have you resolved any eating disorders or emotional issues that will make it difficult for you to achieve a healthy weight? Sometimes it's not just because of what you're eating or whatever the case may be. You could be depressed. You could be stressed. You could be going through something emotionally. You could be anorexic or bulimic. You could be going through a lot that is preventing you to obtain healthy weight. Are you ready to change your eating habits? Again, the jury is still out because my mom can make some mean smother fried pork chops. Toya knows. Are you motivated to get more physically active? Question for myself, no. I'm allergic to exercise. However, I do want to start up my hip-hop dance class again. So I guess physical activity depends on how you look at it. Are you realistic about your weight loss goal? For real, and I don't mean to make any kind of puns or, you know, shortfalls of losing 21 pounds in 21 days, but that may be realistic for some, but it's actually not a realistic goal. That is not something you want to do to your body. Losing 21 pounds over 3 months is more of a realistic goal than 21 pounds over 21 days. And I just wanted to give an example. Set a realistic goal for yourself. Sometimes we never lose the weight because our goals are not realistic.
Well, I'm going to say this for the 21 pounds in 21 days. I did it, and it worked great for me. Now, this is what I will say. I understand it was a detox.
Right.
Now, but what I will say, now, people thought that I was sick because I lost so this much weight so quick. But mm-hmm. I did lose 21 pounds in 21 days, but the weight loss was so, it was so dramatic. It did look, because it was like here today, gone tomorrow. But understand that it's a detox more so than a diet. So that's the thing. But do your research. It's Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, 21 pounds in 21 days, because I feel like you mocking me.
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to... Like you said, but you made a very good point. You said it was a detox, not a weight loss program. People look
exactly.
for these, we lose weight fast, real quick, you know, real quick things, and it's not for weight loss. It's really to detox, cleanse, that you can begin a weight loss
exactly.
regimen. And it's, again, it's not healthy for your body to lose weight so fast.
And this is what I will say, exactly. To your point, it's not being healthy. It's like a maintenance. You can't go from you can't like go 21 pounds in 21 days and then go right back to eating chicken and pizza
right.
and drinking beer the
right.
next day, because guess what? You will die.
Right.
because your body's going through that type of, so you're absolutely right when you say it's not healthy. It's a maintenance program that you have to do to wean yourself back onto foods because you've gone such a long period and your digestive system has shrunk, and that's what causes you to lose the weight. So I just wanted to give, you know, a real synopsis from someone who actually went through the 21 pounds in 21 days, and I received a little bit of discipline.
Thank you for that testimony, but that's true. And, that, you know, that was very important that you gave that testimony because that paints a real picture, you know, letting people know the different things that are out there and what's realistic as far as, you know, expectations for things like that. And what you said is so important. You cannot go right back to eating what you were eating because you will kill yourself. It is definitely something you have to wean yourself back into, but it's something that you, over those 21 days, should have mentally prepared yourself for the discipline to going back into eating more healthy, choosing different food, maybe sometimes diet food, but just choosing a different lifestyle. Now, what I wanted to do is give some foods that you may want to stop eating immediately if you're looking to, you know, go on some type of weight loss regimen. A couple things, like if you stop drinking regular diet sodas and start drinking 20-ounce bottle of water, you could lose up to 50 pounds in 1 year just from that difference alone. If you stop drinking coffee and replace your coffee with green tea also is a caffeine. It has less caffeine than coffee. However, it will burn. It's a natural fat burner. So it's knocking out basically two birds with one stone. It's giving you the little caffeine boost you need, but it's also burning the fat and that causing you to eat more, which coffee does. Something else you can do, stop smoking and drinking alcohol, or you can try. Do your best to cut down. Things, drinking alcohol and smoking will lead to weight gain. You cut that back or cut it out, it will help, definitely help your weight loss. And avoid the grocery store snack aisle. It is a setup. Trust and believe the grocery store people know what they're doing when they design their grocery stores the way that they do. We spend more of our time in the middle aisles than we do on the perimeter of the store. Try your best to stay in your fruits and vegetables, your natural organic produce. And you need to make a strong effort to cut down your salt and sugar intake. I know it's extremely hard, especially when you don't know what has salt, what does and what doesn't, or what has natural sugar, what doesn't, things of that sort. Read your labels. Become familiar with your labels. If there's a word you don't know, Google it. Wester it. Look it up. Find out what it is before you put it into your body. That could be what's keeping you from losing weight. And you figure, I'm doing all this and all this and all this, and I can't lose any weight. What am I doing wrong? It may be something that you're eating on a regular basis that you think may be healthy for you, but it's not. Look at your labels. Everyone, it's very important. Pay attention to the food that you're eating if you're, you know, looking to start a weight loss regimen. And definitely do your research. Every weight loss program isn't for everybody, and some programs are like detox. Like Terrence just said, they're detox programs and not weight loss programs. Do your research. Know what you're doing. But first and foremost, consult a physician before you get started on any type of program.
Ms. Willingham, as always, we appreciate the report tonight coming live out of Virginia. Folks, we got 60 seconds left of the show. Any shout-outs, last-minute comments, ladies? Thanks for joining me tonight. Folks, homelessness, log on to www.hud.gov. HUD.gov. Shouts out to everybody, you know, in America, outside of America. Each one teach one. Pick up somebody. Help them out.
Be a blessing. Don't just be blessed. Be a blessing.
Yep. As you guys both said, do for others. Don't just do for yourself. Care for other people. And Dexter, 9 o'clock, 1 minute and counting.
Hey, it's less than 1 minute. I'm about to jump off, folks. We appreciate you. We're back tomorrow, 10 p.m., Wednesday 10, Friday p.m. Keep riding with us as we ride with you. Thank you.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show.
Real talk.
TM Hyman Live. TM Hyman Live. Talk radio show. TM Hyman Live.